podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another amazing episode of Carnage. What is it? Transfer Carnage, isn't it? Because we're in the transfer window, so it's got to be the Transfer Carnage show. Bloody hell, we got over 100 people in the chat already waiting, man. I can tell who they're waiting for. It's definitely not me. You know what? I always introduce the main man himself right last, and everyone thinks I'm bullying him. And recent comments on the videos have been saying, like, why am I like that to him? But so what? I'm going to reverse it, and I'm going to say hello to my friend from America first. Mr. Avi, how are we?
Good. So you want me to do the introductions today?
Well, I think it's right. Like, first I've got to say hello to you, and I think it's right because I know for a fact that you're a bit of a fan of both of our amazing special guests today. So
literally, we're sat in front of like Hall of Famers here.
Hall of Famers.
Matt's going to be inducted into the Day Trippers Hall of Fame event. I think it's being held in September in Dublin somewhere. You've got the Ayatollah of the Bhangra rock and roller in Jesse Sidhu himself. Welcome. And then you've got the 2 years running MVP yourself, Grizz. See, I'm paying you a compliment here. And then you've got the rookie of the year. You know, I've come in January, but already acclaimed that rookie of the year. This has all the hallmarkings of being an explosive one tonight. But I'm in awe of all three of you, including you, Grizz, for the first time.
All right. You should have left me out a bit. But listen, Jesse, Matt, absolute warm welcome. Thank you. I know you guys are both busy. Matt, we'll start off with you. How's things? We haven't seen you for a little while.
That's good, mate. It's back in the UK for a bit, so enjoying the weather and getting here.
Exactly. Excellent stuff. Exactly. Amazing stuff. Jess, we've spoken for years, but never managed to find time in your diary. You have now. It's amazing. Welcome.
I've had like a 17 months free to squeeze you in. So, you know, I thought, why not?
amazing stuff.
1.5 years off. So, yeah, I fitted you in.
Amazing. This is amazing stuff. People in the chat, don't forget to do all the good stuff, like liking, subscribing, sending in decent comments. Anyone who does stupid, silly comments, I'll fuck you off. You know me. I'm not polite like Gavin, Keith. And Avi, I'm sorry, Avi. I know I've sworn.
Yeah, my mom's watching.
I know. I'm sorry,
Margie. literally 3 minutes in, man.
I know, Margie. I'm sorry, but sometimes people send in really stupid comments, and I'll just.
You're not allowed to swear.
I'm not allowed to swear in my language. Like sometimes I do, silly, stupid. Do you know what I mean? So, you know, it's one of those ones. His mum watches for the first 10, 15 minutes, like to see if I don't bully him too much, one of those ones. and then she leaves us alone. Margie, you know, kid. But anyway, listen, we've got so much to go through today, lads. We've got so much to go through today. And I want to start off with Matt. Because Matt's, as everyone knows, the toppest of top Reds. Like, you know, there's like names. There's names for different fan categories on Twitter. Now Twitter's made category of names, right? So there's like, I don't even want to say some of them, but there's like,
I'd like to be elite red if I can.
Oh, is it a new,
that's iconic, not red. Matt, iconic red. Iconic red is better.
Take it.
Wait, hold on. Wasn't there a legacy red? Yeah, there's a legacy
red. Legacy red, iconic red.
That'll be me.
Rookie red. Rookie reds are like the ones that are new, that don't know, you know, what's been happening with Liverpool, don't know the history, just jumping on the bandwagon since we won the, that's you actually, Avi, rookie red. But Matt, it's a transfer show, I guess, kind of, stroke carnage. So just give us your overview, like a just general overview of how you feeling 2 weeks into the transfer window, how you think it's going, and are you relaxed and comfortable?
I'm always relaxed about it. I've got to a point now, and I say it a lot of times, I've said on shows, say on Twitter, I am so confident in the team we have and the setup we have at Liverpool. Klopp, Edwards, even FSG. I know people don't agree with them, but they have the model and it's proven that it works. So the Edwards, the Klopps, the scouts, everything. they've been getting it right for about 5-6 years now. So I'm at a point where I'm happy just to sit back and wait for the football to begin. The football is everything for me. I don't care about transfers. I don't care about shiny new things. I see a name and I'm not arsed. I probably haven't even watched him play, whoever he signed. And it just doesn't bother me. As long as Klopp wants him and Edwards want him, I'm happy. But looking into the transfers we've had so far, I reckon everyone would agree last year our biggest area where we need to improve was the defence. And we've gone out early and we've got a very, very good defender. Grizz told me he was good. And we've moved well before everyone else. The problem is what we've done. Our issue with this window is we moved too early and a lot of people have forgotten it. So we've signed a £30 million player, a fucking very good player in a position that we really probably our most important position we need to improve. And we've done that early. Now we're in a position which a lot of fans don't like, and I understand it, where we have a lot of fringe players, and we had this issue around 2015 as well. We had a lot of fringe players on high wages, and we've come through a pandemic. As much as we don't want to think about it, and we think, okay, we're £1 million, £1 billion football club, it's a pandemic, and it hits turnover, and it's hit every single club hard. And unless you do have an oil-rich owner or Abramovich or someone like that, it's going to be difficult. And I really like the way we've done our football club. I really like the Liverpool way. How much better did it feel winning the league, doing it our way, than the Chelsea way, the City way? And I want to stick to that. And it's harder to do. I understand it's harder to do. I get people's frustration. But we will sell these players. We're good at selling players. It's going to happen. It's about 5 weeks left of the window. We'll sell players, we'll reduce the wage bill, and then we'll spend what we get. And we're going to get about 40, 50 million. And that's going to be enough because we've got players coming back. We've got two of the best defenders in the league coming back. Three, if you include Matip as well. And we're not. There's no way we're going to have the same injuries we had last year. Last year was a freak. Everyone needs to forget that. It was a freak. It's not going to happen again. We had a short window, a short pre-season last year, which obviously Klopp likes his pre-season, likes to do everything well. He had to go outside his norm, and it did, and we played a lot of games. So that and some freak incidents like Van Dijk at Everton and things like that really killed us. That's not going to happen again. Everyone needs to stop worrying. That will not happen again. And even if it does, we won't be out of defenders because we've got Konate, and we know we've got Phillips now, and we've got others who can step in. And I reckon we'll still get two or three more through the door. Whether that third one or second or third one is a young English man, local, because our homegrown talent is we're only at seven, which is a worry for us. So we do need to get some homegrown in, but we will get two or three more. We just need to sell first, and we've got 5 weeks to do it. So I think, for me personally, I'm just going to sit back. I'm going to watch the friendlies and then just enjoy the training camp videos.
It's amazing, the beauty of this channel, right, is we get so many different opinions, and people, a lot of our contributors are, pro FSG. We've got some that don't like the owners, and we've got some that sit on the fence. Like, it's mad. It's like we've got so many agreeing with Matt, and then we've got so many disagreeing. It's like someone said 100%, well, Shawnee Lawson saying 100% Matt, and then we got another comment here saying, it's amazing. How do I get this comment up, man? It's amazing how the trippers always find new top reds. So we've got a vast array of...
I'm not new. I've always been a top red.
We've always got a mixture. And what we find, what we try, it's not easy. What we try is try to have a balanced opinion and try to see it from both sides. And I'm pretty known to be seeing it from both angles. Is that fair?
You're claiming to be diplomatic here, Grizz.
You're sitting on the fence.
Diplomatic. Well, I'm not sitting on the fence. So look, Matt's made a case for like being relaxed. And I think I'm fairly relaxed. But also in the past have given my frustrations of why some may not be relaxed because of the inactivity or the lack of activity in the last few windows in terms of not only incomings but outgoings as well. Now Matt referenced 2015. Again, we're back to a lot of Deadwood players. I want to come to Jesse because I don't know if I told you to do a bit of homework, Avi, to find that tweet, and you haven't found it, have you? So Jesse done a tweet a few weeks ago, about a week or so ago.
Jesse, three, four days ago.
And exactly. And I want him to, here's a chance to give his context and what he means by that. Because obviously on Twitter, you type something and then you think, yeah. Maybe I meant that. Maybe I didn't word it properly, whatever. But go on, Jess, speak away, bro.
You know, Matt, I totally get what you're saying. But first off, it was never the Liverpool way to become accountants. Every Liverpool fan is now sitting on Twitter working out, if we sell Shaq, we can use his wages over here, move Harry Wilson over there. It's just, we're the only big club left in the world that does account management. I find it strange. We've all kind of become brainwashed into doing this, that we have to move him, to bring him, to move him. I'm not saying it's the right or wrong way. I just feel that under FSG, and I'm not FSG out, I'm not anything like that. They've done good things, they've done bad things like most owners. And the problem with Twitter is if you say, but what about this? You're told, oh, you want an oil-rich owner, or, oh, you want to be Man City? No, I just don't want to spend less than Brighton every year. That's the difference. I just feel that the Moneyball project that FSG wanted and got wrong to start with, initially got wrong until they found the perfect manager for Moneyball, Klopp, has now outgrown that concept to a point where we've become an elite club. And to stay an elite club, you can't keep hoping that your manager and your head of recruitment can pull out these like £20 million players that they can turn into £50 million players. And coupled with that, the whole wages issue is we've got these players, turned them into superstars, and now we're worried about, oh man, we got to pay them superstar wages. It's all a bit, no one's denying that, you know, it's the way FSG are, and it's fine. You know, it's good to live within your means and all that. But we go from, you know, we got to be successful, spend money. We win the European Cup. No. We need to be more successful. Okay, we win the team. No. We got to get more sponsorship in. We signed the biggest deal with Nike. And I'm still sitting here thinking, all right, where's the Iowa money? Where's the Gabara money gone? Where's it gone? You know, it becomes that point where you have Liverpool fans genuinely on social media are accountants now. Any Man United fan you watch, or Arsenal fans, oh, Ben White, we need this now, we need that now. But Liverpool fans are just automatically, no, if we can get rid of Neco at right back, use his money here and that. I just find it strange as such a big club who is now at the top of the game that we're doing this still to the point that, I get the pandemic, but we sold 10% to, is it Redbird?
Redbird. Well, they've invested into the
FSG.
Yeah.
But I'm sure Pierce said at the time that what they're giving will cover the kind of the what we lost with the revenue.
Pandemic and stuff, yeah.
If it is, no one's got money. It's the way of life. But it does start to irritate a lot of Liverpool fans when Arsenal are spending 50 million, when et cetera are spending this, and we're sitting here going, oh, no, COVID's hit us really hard. You know, it begins to make you think, hold on, what's going on? I'm not FSG out at all.
Good you've made that clear. So, yeah, exactly.
I don't support the owners. I support the club. I couldn't care less who owns it. I think they get a lot of leeway, number one, because they're not Hicks and Gillette. That is just, they're the anti-Hicks and Gillette. So anyone was going to be great after them. And number two, down the East Lancs Road, you got the Glazers that always make them look better. So that's what they get away with. 100 million net spend in 5 years, and we're still kind of worrying about, can we get him out to get him in? Can we do this to do that? As a Liverpool fan, I grew up on us breaking transfer records. And no, I'm not saying we should go and splash £200 million on a player. I'm just saying the Liverpool way was always go and get the best. It was never, we'll get the best, but wait, let me just move this player out and move that. It was always, right, go and get the best player we want. And that's the thing that kind of gets to me at the moment. I've got no problem with, I trust Klopp and Edwards emphatically. You know, Klopp could do anything. He's the most important man, I think, in Liverpool's history. And that's ahead of Bill Shankly for me, because he picked us up when we were, I said mid-table in my tweet, and people were like, we're not mid-table, we were third last year. I was like, no, before Klopp came, we were more sixth than eighth than we were anywhere near the top. And Klopp came along and transformed us. So he has all the goodwill in the world. He can do anything he wants. But I just feel this penny pinching, constant penny pinching. It might not be penny pinching. It might be, you know, I don't want to be Sustainability FC. I want to be Liverpool Football Club. You know, that's all we are at the moment, sustainability. Oh, we got to balance the books. We got to move players. And it just begins to grate when you are the, today, a year ago, the league champions. and 2 years ago European champions, and we're sitting here hoping we can get rid of Harry Wilson to bring a player in.
Could I jump in on that? Just I've got a few things back. Well, first of all, you said Brighton spend more than us every season, but okay, they might have one season, but it's little comments like that that rile us up on Twitter because Brighton don't spend more than us every season. And when we're talking about net spend, we're kind of putting a bad thing on us just because we're good at selling players. So these two things. But the reason I give FSG leeway, as you say, is because obviously they came from Hicks and Gillette, so we came from a really shit position. But that went after 2-3 seasons. So they gave us 13-14, which was amazing, one of my favourite seasons, loved it. And after that, they gave us the Premier League and the Champions League. So that's what gets them leeway. It's got nothing to do at this point with Hicks and Gillette. I don't even care about them now. 2 years ago, I mean, a year ago, I was celebrating the Premier League. 2 years ago, I was celebrating the Champions League. And during the Champions League celebration, it also went down to the last game of the season, where I watched in Delhi with the lads you set me up with, Jesse. Delhi Reds. Yeah. I watched it with them on the last game of the season.
Delhi Cup. Shout out to Delhi Cup.
That's it. And that was one of my favourite seasons. And we've gone from every 4 years challenging with Hicks and Gillette, or before that, the owners. We've gone from one every 4 years building a team and challenging to the last 5 years. We are now sustainable in football terms. We are top four every season. Even this season, I fucking love a top four challenge. I love the end of the season. Grizzle knows. I wind them up the whole time. I never doubted from January, February, March, doesn't matter. I was like, we are getting it. And I love that run we had. And it was fucking amazing. We got third.
Me and Matt were the only ones that believed in it.
Fuck off. You got nothing.
From December.
And so the leeway we're giving them is from the wins. It's from the times they're giving us. A Champions League final, UEFA Cup final, Champions League, a league, first league in 30 years. This is the leeway we're giving FSG. Not just that, look how big. I know you're saying about the accountants and you don't like that, but it's important for a football club these days. It is. Look how big we are. We've gone from outside the top 10 in Europe to number 3, number 4. I can't remember which one, but it's 3 or 4. Yeah, it's ridiculous. So we are at that table now, but we got there by doing it this way. So we can't just forget that. It's not like we can't go any higher than 102 points or whatever. We can't go. All we can do is sustain the top that we are at. And we are at the very top. Don't let one unlucky season put you off that. This model works. And they are very much engrossed into carrying out this model because it's worked with Red Sox. How long was it since they won the...
Have you? Over there? Red Sox, how long was it? If you listen to the chat...
2000 and... No, I was listening, Riz.
But before it was like 30 years, wasn't it?
It was an 84-year wait, the curse of Babe Ruth. So 84 years they'd won the first since FSG came in. It was after 84 years.
Sorry, with the Red Sox, didn't they break loads of records by spending on players?
It was the money ball system. So I've just had a conversation. Sorry to butt in there, Matt. I did want to come in this.
So I just want to read this comment because this is proper us.
Shall I read it out? Because you have a mayor sometimes. Harjot, thank you for this chat. I grew up buying B21's records in the 90s and jamming to the tunes, and now I'm listening to him on my favorite LFC chat. Haha, amazing. Love it, lads.
What a combination. The best LFC chat and the king of Bangra. Amazing.
Go on. So I was, I'm actually going on a Boston Red Sox podcast, Chris. They've invited me, not you. So just to clarify, going on it in 2 weeks, and they want to get at my sort of point of view of FSG. And I was asking them, like, what do you think? They said, listen, since they come in, they broke the curse of the Bambino. It's called the curse of the Bambino. There's a great series on it, ESPN. I'm going to plug it now. 40 for 40 or 30 for 30. Go and watch it. It's a 4-part series when they beat the Yankees after like 74 years to win the World Series. And he goes, listen, under their leadership, they've won the most championships than any other team by one. I think the Yankees or the Giants might, are just one below. So they go, look, there are issues at times, like this old Mookie Betts who went on that very same season to the Dodgers and won the World Series. So they have made mistakes, but they said on the whole, they're very much loved. They renovated Fenway Park. And just on this, when we talk about renovation, Hicks and Gillette put an application in because they knew they couldn't, they deemed it impossible to renew, like renovate Anfield and to get it up to the 50s and 60K capacity. David Moores and Rick Parry tried this as well in the 90s to try to upgrade Anfield, but they couldn't. The Red Sox, FSG came in, and within 3 years, they've increased it to 54,000, right? And now there's another application to increase Annie Road End. Like, there's good and bad parts of the argument. My question is, we need to maximize this Jurgen Klopp pool. We have one of the greatest managers of this football club, of this institution that we call it, right? We should maximize the transfer pool. And that means if we can attract the best, which means like the Sanchos, like the Kylian Mbappes, like big, like the Haalands, the Graven Birches of, you know, who are up and coming, go and get it now. Because in 3 years' time, when a new manager comes in, we may need to restart that all again. And that pool might not be the same. Whether Steven Gerrard comes in or not, or whoever's in line for the next sort of role, it might become difficult. While we've got Klopp and we've got a minimum of six windows. I really don't really count the January window, but we'll just count it in. We'll count it. Within the next 3 years, we should go and maximize his pull, which is go and attract the best and buy the best.
I agree. But if you get Mbappe, is he going to stay after Klopp? I mean, my problem is everyone. No. I agree. I would like Mbappe. I would like him or anyone. Getting the best is not always the most expensive, though. That's the thing. When we've needed to, we've gone out and got Van Dijk, we've got Alisson. Yeah. But then we picked up Salah for 35 million or whatever it was, and look how he's turned out. So getting the best doesn't mean spending the most money. Now, my thing is, a lot of people think Klopp wants money, so so give him it. But that is everyone missing Klopp's very first interview. Klopp doesn't like doing that. Klopp would love to bring Curtis Jones through. Klopp loved to bring Trent through. Klopp loves to train. Klopp doesn't want 100 million, and he said it over and over again. And in this times, if Klopp was unhappy with FSG, we would be hearing it. We'd be hearing it leaked to the press. We'd be hearing it leaked to James Pearce through his agent. We would be hearing it. We don't hear a fucking peep. Not one thing. Klopp is getting exactly what he wants.
I'm just putting this one up just to piss Matt off. But go on.
Matt, you see, there's a problem with LFC.
John Flanagan, he was shite.
LFC social media is this. Because I want Klopp to be backed, because if Klopp wants Malen or if he wants whoever he wants, Saul, whoever he wants, go get him. I'm not saying, but as soon as you say he should be backed more, you're, oh, what? Bringing 200 million pound players? Oh, what? You want 100 million pound players on the bench? No. My argument is we shouldn't be scratching around, waiting to get rid of players. If Klopp wants someone on his list, he shouldn't have to wait for us to kind of get rid of Shaq or get rid of Origi. Otherwise, you know, we might not be able to. And it's the constant press being told by whoever's in charge, FSG or whoever, told this line, we need to sell to buy. We need to sell to buy. It's like we're trying to kid the other clubs that, oh, you know, if you don't want Origi, we don't want to sell him. No one falls for it. We know we want rid of him. But it's just the constant paper, the club, everybody, we cannot buy players. Klopp deserves, we are, I don't even think FSG believed we would win what we won under Klopp. None of us saw it. We all dreamed it. We all believed it. I watched Klopp. I remember landing in New York the day he was going to sign. And I went straight to Carragher's and I sat there all day. My missus was so angry. And I said, this is going to change our lives. And Jesus, he did. We all thought he would, but the way he's done it. And we're finally there. And I just think Moneyball works to a point. Moneyball will take you to a certain point. You then have to tweak it. Because the clubs you are going to get your Salahs from for 30 million, your other players from, have now thought, hold on, these guys take our players and make them better. You know what? We want more money. And then also, the players we got rid of to the likes of Bournemouth, it's harder to get rid of them players. For that. So you've got to be able to tweak the system. We are now an elite club again after decades of wandering around. Myself and the other fans, I don't want FSG. I told you, I don't care who owns the club, but I'd like Klopp to say, I want him, let's go get him. I want him, let's go get him, and then worry about the rest.
I think the crucial factor in this conversation, to me, it seems, is Jurgen Klopp. Now, Avi, we spoke about privately as well, in terms of Jurgen Klopp wasn't a fluke recruitment. So I think we underestimate how clever, Jess, that FSG were and are in recruiting Jurgen Klopp. Avi, I don't even know if you want to elaborate on the conversation we had in private. Like, he actually, right, and obviously a lot of fans won't want to hear this, but he's an avid believer. Now, I'm not taking sides. I'm just giving my opinion on the situation. And from what I know, I favor the side, not of Matt, but what his opinion is of that Klopp absolutely believes in this. He's an absolute firm believer of the system. He studied it. He was given specific, he knew about the whole idea of how FSG, the structure, how it's going to work. And he came out, let's not forget people, he came out of a sabbatical for this, for these owners.
His wife made him.
Yeah, he blames Sabine on the wife.
Credit to Sabine, yeah.
But Avi, the point I'm going to put to you to give you give some insight, whatever you think, is people forget Jurgen Klopp. So it's always FSG and it's always fans. But give us what you think Jurgen Klopp and the part he plays in all this. And he gets, so for example, we saw the frustration. So let's go away from the FSG are kings. We saw the frustration of Jurgen around the centre-back issue in January as well, right? But we also know that he won't ever go against the owners. Is that a weakness of Klopp? Is that a strength of Klopp? What's your insight on that part?
How do we know he won't ever? Oh, did you ask
Matt? I'm talking, please.
You jump in.
Only because you're a Hall of Famer. I'm going to be very disrespectful. Let me go.
You jump in, mate, please. I don't know who he asked. I'm sorry.
I just want to quickly point out Klopp 100% was onto this idea and he believed in the structure. I'll tell you why. Kagawa was brought from Osaka for 50,000 to Dortmund. Gundogan, 250 or 400,000 from Nuremberg to Dortmund. He brought, God knows, now my mind's going to go blank. He brought numerous players, the Mkhitaryans, the Aubameyangs, even before then. He brought Shahins, Subotic, so many players, and he made them a world-class outfit, narrowly missed out on the Champions League. So he knew what he was walking into. He referred to Man United as Disneyland. Like, if he wanted superstars straight away, he could have gone to United. And they came knocking for him after Fergie left. They came extremely knocking for him. And my
You're confusing the argument here. Not one person here is saying, let's give him 500 million to go and buy players.
But what I'm trying to say is he knew the project that was going to be sold to him when he came to Liverpool. When he signed on that dotted line in October 2015, he knew what was going to come in front of him. He knew that he had to work within a system with Barry Hunter, Dave Fallows, Michael Edwards, where they would supply him with players where it fits more. Listen, Klopp's made mistakes as well. He wanted Julian Brandt and Mario Götze, They haven't flourished. You know, unfortunately for Götze, he's had health issues, but Julian Brandt hasn't pulled up any trees at Dortmund. And he was overlooked for them by Mane and Salah. Yeah. So he will make mistakes. January, I think Klopp, Grizz wanted Konate. You made it very clear to me that Konate was always his number one choice from even the back end of last season, that he wants Konate in. Right? He was given names as Loic Badé from Lens. He was given David Carmo from Braga. He didn't want them. That's what happened. Apparently, we were in for Clatica. He was ready to get his flight over from Marseille to London. It didn't happen. But he was adamant on Konate. That's why we got that Konate deal done in March. So that what I'm trying to say is he knew what he was coming into and he seems happy about it. Yes, there will be along the way. He's been there for 5-6 years, guys. There will be some hiccups. Not every ownership and management are going to be right. Look at Conte at Chelsea when he was in charge. He was in the world first season.
I think you very make a key point, Jesse, and before I come back to you, I think too many fans look for the perfect owners. And that's the issue. Yes, as you said, I'm not FSG out, but I'm frustrated in some of their antics. We're not going to go into the non-transfer related antics because we're bored of them. You know, the furlough business, the Super League business and all that business. Fans are so forgetful of that if you give them a little beautiful transfer, right? So we're not going to get deep into that aspect. I just want to read the super chat before we carry on. Timmy Olatunde, have I said that right, Avi? Thank you for the super chat. Yeah. He says, how can people say it's okay to be a business when businesses grow investment as well to keep it sustainable? I need the budget to rise.
Sustainable is just this new word that
you've caused this.
You made it up.
You started this.
Sustainability.
It's your tweet.
That was your tweet, Jazz.
It was your tweet. The sustainable FC hashtags going round.
I can't wait for the Chelsea home match. I'm gonna stand there and go, we are sustainable. Get it going on the clock. Hey, it's that middle ground again. The problem with social media is like Brexit. You're either left or you're right. There's no middle ground. Yes, it works. Moneyball works. It has worked. No one's denying that. My argument is just the fact that we all follow non-Liverpool fans, don't we? We all follow on social media. Which other clubs fans know so much about the company accounts.
United fans have come in hard now on the Glazers.
Now they have this season. Otherwise, they couldn't, right? We want players, go get them. It's just the whole, it's weighing down, I think, on a lot of fans that we're constantly like being told money, 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 money. We get it. We get it. No one expects us to go and buy Mbappe except for UAV. No one expects that. You know, your dream. We're not going to go and buy a £100 million player. We bought Virgil and we bought Ali because of Coutinho going. We moved the money around. It was simple enough. Brilliant. Look what they did, you know. You buy elite players. They give you elite performances. It's just now I just want him to have some money. Not have to rely on players moving.
So I'm going to end this FSG little mini chat that we had. I mean, look, Pharrell Williams says this is becoming an FSG left wing channel. Like, how's he fucking worked that out? Like, come on, Pharrell. Do you know what I mean? Is that Pharrell the singer, Avi, do you reckon?
That's Pharrell Williams. No, he spelled it wrong. It's with a P, though, yeah.
Yeah.
Can I just ask Matt this last question, though? Matt, do you think because of the ESL...
What, last question of the night? Like, that's it?
No, last question before we move on subject.
Oh, because, yeah, okay. Please. I thought you were looking to fuck my
conf. Keep it here, Ron. Can I just ask Matt this question? Matt, because of the ESL, because of the furlough stuff early last year, because of the... because the way they've conducted themselves in the last year, do you think they owe the Liverpool fans like something? Like go out and go and buy a 60, 70 million pound player. Do you think the fan is that why there's a distinguished sort of not hatred? Hatred's too strong a word, but that's why there's a little bit of lost in transition where you know what? Here you go. Like we will give this fans what they want. Here's go and get a 50, 60 million pound player.
Yeah, like a legacy summer. Do you know what? They absolutely fucked up over ESL. I thought they were wrong. I thought they were dickheads and they lost a lot of points in my book. Over the furlough stuff as well, really bad. I don't mind anyone slagging them when they deserve slagging. They've got to be slagged. That's fine. But they're still not going to change a winning formula just to appease some fans.
Like, absolutely.
This formula works. It's been proven to work and it's working now and we're in the midst of it working. The only thing is everyone remembers them 3 months from January to March and that's what is stuck in the mind because negative stuff sticks in the mind more than positive stuff. That is all it is. Come to August, we start banging the ball in again and we're top by end of September and it's all good again. People go quiet and we start defending the club against United fans instead of our own fans, and that's where we're at. It works. They're not going to change it. Everyone you're either going to be angry for a long time, or you just got to accept it and support the club because this is where we're at. This is it.
And I've said it very clearly. In my opinion, just my opinion. Of course, I don't speak for anyone apart from me and my family because I'll smash them up if they don't listen to me. But my opinion is. I called it a legacy summer and everyone's taking it to heart and personal, right? Like I named it legacy summer. Like who the fuck am I? I called it legacy summer. But the reason why I said that is siding with Jesse a little bit in terms of because of inactivity or lack of activity in the past, we had a lot to do this summer. And most of it, in my opinion, should have been assembling a new spine through the team. So the current spine we've got of, let's say, Van Dijk, Hendo, Firmino, Salah, yeah? That's roughly, I know there's loads of important players, but all aging, yeah? All players that have, a couple of them have had injuries, Hendo, Virgil, right? And we have to. We can't always look at the present and just enjoy it and say, look, for the sake of enjoyment and for the sake of the present, look where we are. Because we've been so low. So I get that aspect. Like, we are Liverpool Football Club. So even though we've had a dismal, however many years before Klopp, now that we've reached the top, I'm going to use that word again. Now that we've reached the top, let's sustain it and stay at the top, right? And so this is my frustration that I agree with Jesse that I am no way FSG out. But I do believe in the approach changing with the flow, with the times, with the situation and surrounds. So for me, in that sense, again, I'm not into buying expensive. I want the right players. Yeah, obviously, we all want the right players. And the people that we've got employed to do and make such decisions have done a bloody good job so far. So let's just see at your window. Now, I agree. And I'm saying it now. Matt, Avi, right? FSG Innes, right? I'm telling you now.
I'm labeling you.
I'm labeling you. If they don't bring in a central midfielder, at least I expect an attacker and a central midfielder, then I will 100% question them from now on, their motives, their planning, and whatever. But if they do the required, what's needed for the squad, not for my personal fascination with players, and, oh, I think X is perfect, Saul is perfect, or Tielemans is perfect, not for me, but for the squad and what I think it needs for the team, and for Jurgen Klopp to have the best shot at winning the title, I think we need a central midfielder and another attacking option. Jesse, if they bring those two in, I don't think you will have much frustration and complaints either. Am I right?
I think two attackers we need, because there's no way Shaq or Origi stay. But anyway,
I'm playing the bare minimum.
Yeah, of course. You always build when you're at the top. We just haven't been at the top very often. So I think we're a bit confused here. You're at your strong. We should be building now when we're at the peak of where we can be. That's all I care about. I don't want extra players on FIFA or Football Manager to sell in the summer. You know, it don't bother me. This squad right now will probably, depending on who United buy, I'm a bit, they got the PE teacher, they'll be fine. But this squad will still challenge for the title. They're in their peak, you know, 29 years old, all of them. They'll still challenge. But we should be adding to it and not sitting back and going, right, if we can get Bobby Moe and Sadio on the pitch again for the sixth season running, you know, we got a chance here.
But Jesse, I don't think that's because of the money aspect, personally. I think that's more of the makeup and the balance of the squad that we need to get rid of certain players. So, because we haven't been as good, or people or other clubs haven't had enough money to buy our dead wood in the last 2-3 windows, I agree the frustration is not getting rid of them. But I think it's more of the balance of the squad. I'm just going to say thank you to Abubakar Ali for the super chat. He says, Grizz has been talking to Keith and Matt a lot, you can tell. Trust me and Matt argue like cats and dogs every day. Trust me, we don't agree on much. So I'm not, it's not about that. People are scarred by Hicks and Gillette. Eid Mubarak, Grizz. Yeah, Eid Mubarak to you. But
yeah.
So yeah, moving on, swiftly moving on about...
You've got another super chat. Please do not miss the next super chat, please.
All right. Well, so you know how to use this system as well. Why'd you always blame me? Like, do something in it.
Let me pull it out.
I've gone. I've done it.
Should I read it out?
Yeah. What currency is this, everyone? Anyone know?
The yen.
Rupees.
Is this rupees? Oh, my God. Big up.
Who said yen?
Who said yen?
That was you. Who said yen?
I said yen. Samra, thank you so much, brother. Everyone calling it a winning formula, but if unfortunately Paul wins no trophy this season, will it still be a winning formula? So is winning a trophy winning
that
formula?
That is when we can kick off.
Or for you guys, finishing top four.
Seventh, eighth, then we can kick off. Right now, no one's even kicked the ball. We can't do it. You're saying, Grizz, I want this player, or I will be unhappy. How do you know it? Can't even want these players.
No.
We've got to wait. No, we've got to get back to caring about the football and waiting until the ball is kicked before we decide if we are happy with the team or not. Because we can go and challenge and it'll be fine, and we go and win the league again.
Matt, that's because we've got an elite team. We've had an elite team for 3 years. No one's doubting we will challenge. But we can all see we've lost Ginny. You need to bring a body in, because Naby doesn't exist as a midfielder. So then you've got Milner. You've got your three, and then you've got Milner, Ox backing them up with Curtis. So we all know there's gaps.
Yeah, Thiago was the genie replacement. We'd done it a year earlier, which is what everyone wanted. And now everyone's forgotten that it was done.
Because then we haven't played Naby. We've realised Naby hasn't played anything at all. So he didn't play
anything. And Fabinho.
But then you've got, you're down to 3-4 midfielders again.
I'm enjoying this.
Always play three. No one's denying we are an elite team. We will fight for the league this season with our full team. But we also all can see that there needs to be somebody coming in.
A balancing of the squad.
And we know, and no one thinks that there will be no one coming in. It's just the constantly being told we need to get Origi's wages off the books, and then being told, "Well, you know,
no, but
you
I think the club haven't told you this. All we're doing now, we're reading things on Twitter. We're reading journalists. We're reading things on Twitter.
And
the club haven't. But the club haven't released anything.
What I will say is, if the club, for example, Jesse, you're saying the media are telling us midfielder is not a priority, for example. Yeah? That's caused outrage.
No. Because last year we weren't signing Thiago. It's not that. But about wages and, we can't have £30 million on the players on the bench.
But again, Matt's right, though. That's not coming from the club, Jazz. So we will eventually sign, in my opinion, a very good midfielder.
And an adequate
attacker for now, for this season, right? And I think that will be absolutely what we need. We needed a centre-back. The frustration is funny, isn't it, how it works. If we signed him now, everyone would be hyped in the middle of the window. We just brought in Konate, right? And I would have done loads of lovely tweets like I've done, right? But the fact that now, again, Liverpool haven't actually said anything in terms of incomings, and it's absolute tighter than ever. Information is not being leaked. People talk about James Pearce, with all due respect, being a local journalist. He may live local, but he's not a Liverpool journalist anymore. He doesn't even work for The Echo. He works for a separate institution called The Athletic. And The Athletic need stories, because the whole purpose of The Athletic getting away from all the other papers was they were going to be this brand new, different concept, you know, like Avi's Country, America. So they're coming out with stories that are conflicting within 24 hours, right, Avi? So one day they're writing.
I sent it to you, Chris.
Twenty-two hours. So look, there's loads of people that are looking for clicks and whatever. I think we have to wait. We've got no option. We've got no option anyway. We can't do nothing about the owners at this stage. We can only scream and shout and tweet, right? But I think by the end of the summer, I think, again, we'll have balance in the squad. I think we'll have some of the shit that we need to sell. I get that frustration, Jazz. We need to get rid of the certain players. And then we'll have players that the balance of the squad will be fine.
Just for clarity, last word
on FSG's bullshit.
If we get Jared Bowen and buy another three players for $6 million combined, I wouldn't care, because Klopp wants them. That's not my point. My point is the whole being an accountant. I'm a Liverpool fan. I'm not an accountant. I don't care about sustainability and getting wages and moving left and right. But we've all become that. And that is not where probably the biggest side in the UK, if not the world football, should be.
I get that. Avi, do you want to start on?
I don't want Jared Bowen, by the way.
Yeah, we're going to touch upon it right now. So save fire. Avi, if you want to take off, I'll try to take off this comic because I'm a bit confused right now. But you ask Matt about his name and then we discuss where this link come from and what do you think about it.
Yeah, so Matt signed in to the studio as Jared Bowen. So,
I thought it was really him. I thought you had a special.
It's got Jamie Holmes saying evening all. He did a great show yesterday. But Jamie, Jared Bowen, Matt, talk to us. Do you think he's a realistic target or do you think it's smokescreen? I, for one, I'm just going to put the feelers out there. I do not want him. I don't care whether he meets all our characteristics, whether he meets the metric system. I'm not a fan and I do not want him. That's my point of view. So I'll let you just take the floor.
It's a mad one. I mean, he was probably the 18th player to be linked to us this week. So the only thing that held a bit more weight is it was Pearce. But then, as Chris said, within 22 hours, it was also came out that it's been rubbish. I mean, whether he wants him or not, he's not the calibre I think we need at all. But I don't think he's a realistic link. He's either been... If you see 2, 3, 4 journalists tweet about it, then it's been linked. But it can also... it's been leaked, sorry. But it can also be leaked as a smokescreen to get another agent to get his arse in gear. I don't think it's the type of player we'll be going after. He's gonna want a lot of money. It's gonna be about £35 million, I reckon, because
I think they'll want more, Matt.
Maybe more, but everyone's in the pandemic. They could need cash. You don't know. It looks like they want to keep hold of him anyway. But I just think it's a non-starter. I think we should just forget him. And it's like all the other rumours I read this week. I'll just gloss over it. I won't give a shit. None of it's true.
Jas, I think you probably going to agree with this. Even before, I know your answer is going to be, but I'm still going to ask you. Arj says, I think he's a good player, but there's a bit of Stuart Downing vibe about him.
I think he's another Adam Lallana level of player. I think he is probably on the list, from what I've heard as well. He's on the list, which contains about 30 players. So maybe that's about it. But I don't think the thing's got legs. I just don't see it happening. When you watch him play, he's very lightweight. He's very lightweight. And the main thing is, if you're going to play up top for us, you've got to have a certain amount of speed. He's not exactly lightning quick either. So, like,
see, I've seen a lot of people say that he's not quick. I think he's quick, lads.
He's not electric. He's electric.
Compared to us, he is.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Now, you guys haven't seen Avi, man. He's a fucking right little proper sprinter, 100-meter fucking, 20-meter sprinter. I've seen his sprints. Yeah. But yeah, look, go on. Sorry, Avi, I interrupted you. Go on. Sorry, brother.
No, we were just talking about Jared Bowen. I think we all sort of, you know, I think all four of us agree that he's a player that, yes, the thing is, we get linked with the player and then you'll get fans on Twitter. And look, fair play to them. Fair play to the accounts that will bring up his stats, his pressures, his speed on the ball, his different sort of in which minute he presses the ball and how he applies pressure. And they will make you all of a sudden psychologically think, you know what, he would work in our system. And that's what it is. And sometimes it works. Like last season when we brought Jota, I wasn't Jota's biggest fan. I still think he needs to refine his game a lot more to become that ultimate complete elite player. But I wasn't expecting Jota last season. And I didn't think that he would shine the way he has. So, look, if Bowen came in, would I support him 100%? I support every Liverpool player that puts on that shirt, even Grizz's nemesis, Adrian. But...
Whoa, relax.
He's a player that I wouldn't want. If we're spending 35 million, why can't we spend another 10 on, like, a Dusan Vlahovic? That's how I think of it as.
Apparently, he's gone somewhere else.
Juventus is the talk, apparently.
So, look, I'm very rarely wrong. Abby Maguire, thank you very much. Says Bowen is a West Ham. Look, why have you taken the thing off? No, you've deleted it. You've touched something. I told you not to touch something.
Because the super chats are going
up. I told you not to touch something.
I apologize to Abby Maguire.
So Abby Maguire said that he's one of the quickest. If you watch West Ham's YouTube channel, he's the fastest player at West Ham. So I was right. But anyway, we've got another amazing super chat from Hitenda Samra.
Thank you again, bro. To be deleted.
Lastly, Jesse Baji here for you. 3:15. Amazing dedication to watch you. Love you, man. Also, any top man and high Grizz and Matt thought, even though I don't agree with your stance, absolutely. It's not all about agreeing and everyone nodding away in agreement. This show and channel is all about difference of opinion. As long as the chat spoken about with respect, that's the main thing.
That's what social media should be. But it's not, is it? That's the problem.
You're asking for the perfect owners, and now you're asking for the perfect social media.
The weird thing about it all is when you argue with someone, you think, hold on, we all just want Liverpool to win, don't we? We're all pulling in the same direction. So why? Thank you, brother, for staying awake.
Amazing.
Time in Dili, I think it must be.
Amazing dedication. Avi, what else we got on the agenda, man?
Grizz, that was Abby Maguire's. It says she. You said you referred to Abby as he. It's actually she. So I'll read it out, Abby. Sorry, I apologize on behalf of Grizz. Bowen recently did an interview where he said he was the fastest player at West Ham, Grizz. So he's quick. Okay.
Apologies, Abby, if I got your gender wrong. Sorry. What's next on the agenda, Avi, while I look through some amazing comments?
So just to confirm, Liverpool have brought a player today from Newcastle. Barry Clark is an academy player. Lee Clark's kid. Yeah, apparently he's got a lot of hype. So Grizz, I know you wanted me to mention that, so I have.
And for the future. Good lad.
There's a lot of talk. And Grizz, I know you've mentioned this again last year. Harvey Barnes talk is some coming out of sources from Twitter today.
No, I like Harvey Barnes. Well, I think Harvey Barnes is a fantastic player. I heard of his interest in the last summer window.
Yeah.
But when we were really interested in him, he gets a really serious injury, right? And so obviously we don't know what the situation is. I haven't heard nothing ever since. But again, let's roll this back, right? Harvey Barnes before the brilliant season he had at Leicester. So we all agree he had a brilliant season at Leicester. Imagine the press brought out Harvey Barnes, or I brought out Harvey Barnes in the social media circles. I reckon a lot of fans would have been in uproar. What? Harvey Barnes from Leicester.
His name was about last summer.
Yes, in no way would have been glamorized like it is now. So even like Jared Bowen, I don't think he's right for Liverpool, right? I'll make that categorically clear. But there's far better people equipped at Liverpool that may think he is. And until we see the lad in action, we can't just close a book and judge and say, like Avi has, I don't want him, he's rubbish, whatever, blah, blah. I'd say he may have elements to his game that would fit in perfectly with in our system. Just like Genie, Robertson, Mane, Salah did, Bobby did. Bobby was bought as a 10 from Hoffenheim. Suddenly we turned him into an amazing 10 for 3 years. Like he was one of the most beautiful, beautiful false nines we've had in our history, right? So I don't know. What I'm saying is when these links come out, I think we're so quick in our judgment of them. We're so quick, even though we've got a very good record. I'm trying to work out our last flop. You know, someone asked me, it was it was a Man United fan, actually. I was on another show last night and we had a bit of a two-minute call. He said, you all talk about your recruitment, but you've bought some duds. And I said, name some. And he could only name the ones that were like 7 million, like Minamino.
Naby Keita.
Apart from Naby Keita, that's what I said to him. I said, apart from Naby, name a dud above 35 million. Oops. And I wouldn't call him a dud. I think he's been very crucial.
I would. In season.
Sorry, who?
Oxlade Chamberlain.
Come on, he's.
Nah. Nah. Guys,
calling
he has Ox no.
A flop.
Nah, I'm not calling him a flop. I accept. Look, man, Minamino has won a league title. Come on.
Yeah, but
he was scoring against City in that run.
He scored double figures.
Grizz, you can't glamorize over one goal, which was 2017-18.
Can you call someone a flop if it's
Matt, I wouldn't say he's a flop, but I would say that.
So that's what I asked for.
We did raise money.
No, I asked for a flop. About 35 million, I asked for a flop. Minamino, Shaqiri, Naby Keita aside. Right? Minamino, Shaqiri, Karius.
Simicast at the moment?
No. Simicast has been there 6 months and three of those are COVID.
It's been a year.
He's not over 35 million.
Yeah. Oh. And he's not over 35 million. So I'm trying to ask anybody, has anybody read in the chat? Maybe I'm wrong. Over 35 million, we haven't bought a dud. So we haven't. So I think that's who? Carroll.
Andy Carroll.
Oh, sharp, man. That's like old school. Nah, we're talking about under the new regime and structure.
Yeah. If we're looking at players we're going to be linked with. Take a lot of heed from the English lads because our homegrown quota is very low. I think we're on seven.
Mm.
Seven at the moment. That means we can only register 24 players.
But that's why I think the elusive, I think he's a player. Davies, we bought this guy. I've never seen him on the pitch. But I think that's why we keep him. We're just going to keep him around to keep that English quota going because he cost us bugger all and he keeps us where we are.
Yeah. But the thing is, right, so we bought a player. Thanks, Avi, for bringing that to light. I think we're chuffed with that signing. Outgoings. So we've finally managed to get rid of Grujic. Again, a proper Moneyball signing, lads. We bought him for like 5 million or something.
5.3,
and we've doubled. We've got that back in loan fees, and then we've got another 5-6 million on top. Right, he. Some say he was never given a chance. I say, you know, you make your chance. If you get a chance, you grab it. He didn't grab it. Whatever.
Klopp would have seen enough.
Do you know what I mean, Jess? So no problem. We've got rid of him.
But I'm really happy that we all get excited by profit in the transfer market.
No. I'm not getting excited about it. What I'm saying is like we're slowly making spaces in the squad. So that's what we have to focus on. Whether we as fans or accountants, like it or not, it is a factor now. It is a factor now.
That He was never in the squad.
No, no, no. What I mean is the rest of the squad. We have to balance the squad in terms of homegrown and getting rid of players. I don't believe it's a sell to buy because, for example, Jas, let's say we sold no one to the end of the window. I'm just putting it out there. I still believe we will bring in two. So that proves that the sell to buy 100%.
That's fine. We've got two people wasting wages, which is okay. If it doesn't matter, then it doesn't matter. No one gives a shit as long as we play. We can only register 17 non-homegrown for Europe. So you've got to fuck two out, which, okay, Shaq and Origi, then no one gives a shit. It doesn't matter.
We've discussed the fact about Origi. He's been the target of numerous inquiries and bits. The fella just doesn't want to leave Liverpool. He's absolutely in love with us. Fuck's sake.
Are you serious? And
he's opened like some university scholarship at Liverpool.
Yeah, he's mad. He's brilliant. He's mad. I hate him as a player, but, you know, he won't leave. Right? So we're going to have to force him out. Hopefully he sees the light by the end of the transfer windows and say tunnel. Harry Wilson, again, another player that we thought, but no. So, again, we had £15 million offers last season where we didn't take...
We should have taken that last year. I tweeted it at
the time. Yep. And unfortunately, we didn't. Now we've got Fulham apparently interested in him and hopefully the closest to him. Any qualms with getting rid of Harry Wilson, Avi?
No, and I don't know why you asked me that. I thought he came, like we said on the other day, he came through that school of Shehi Ojo and Ryan Kent, and I did tip him to be a regular for us. But no, unfortunately, it doesn't work for him. He's had great spells at Derby, had an okay spell last season at Cardiff, but no, let's get rid. But and the talk is 7 million, so a bit of a drop off from last season when we could have got potentially 13 to 15.
He's one of them players that something always happens around him. But
see, again, he's a numbers guy. Like everywhere he's gone, his numbers have been good. And we know our analytical team are all about numbers. So, but if you actually see him play like I did for Cardiff numerous times last season, he wasn't very good and he's not very good.
Yeah. Harry Wilson, how many goals did he get last season, Chris?
Six.
Seven, eight or something. Yeah.
So,
I asked him John Gay because I know that he wasn't gonna tell me.
I didn't know the answer. but do you know what? I tell you what a stat I did find, and what, Matt, I want to ask you because I know you hate this about Twitter, right? So Jared Bowen, have I said it right? Jared Bowen, right? His stats are better than Rafinha's, right? Yet when we're linked with Rafinha, everyone's jumping for joy. He's the one we want. Yet Jared Bowen's stats are far better. What's this fascination with the name and the glamorous name of a player? And do you really think that like our recruitment team gives a toss about that kind of thing? Are we really deep into the analytics of it still? Or is there more flexibility now? Do you think it's changing?
No, we're massively into the analytics, but a lot deeper than just fucking goals and assists. Mm-hmm. You got to look at all the XG. Not just that. Our recruitment team goes and looks at his family life. We look at how he settles, how hard the trainer he is. We look at all of this before we go for a player. It's not just, okay, he's got 8 goals, he's got 4 goals, let's go. And that's why we aren't working for Liverpool Football Club, because that's all we know. But stats are absolutely everything. The FSG love them. Edwards love them. The scouts love them. Klopp loves them. And they work. Look at Leicester. Leicester were ahead of us for bringing stats into what they did. And they won the league out of nowhere. All right, it was a poor league that year, but they did it. And they're still up there now because stats and recruitment is important. And look at the players they get. They're a great recruiting team. They bring in buying cheap, sell for big, buying cheap again, sell for big. It's good. Stats are going to be everywhere.
The reason why I asked you this question, and you know why, because, we won't reveal it on the show because everyone knows who my source is. But do you believe in then what Jesse says about, so we've got this system that we're looking in, these are the words that you used. We're looking for players that we see the potential in them and we know they can be better. At what point do we change that strategy to find or be able to invest in the ready-made gems?
That's not the system. So they look at.
But is there a tweak? But is there in between somewhere? Is there a tweak?
Well, we're at the in between. Look, we went out and spent how much on Thiago, Van Dijk, Alisson. Mm. When we need to, if the player is perfect, we'll spend the money.
Okay, yeah.
But we'll also look at the system. Whereas, okay, he's got that potential to be good in the future. He's got a really good work rate. He loves football. Blah blah. Let's get him for the future. So we are that balance. You're asking where the balance is. It's fucking Liverpool.
Hold on. Matt, you can't use Ali and Virgil in that because that was clearly from the Coutinho money. If we hadn't sold Coutinho, we wouldn't have gone anywhere near both of them.
But no, no, but Jazz.
I'm not spending.
Van Dijk was confirmed for 2017 when Coutinho was there as well. That wasn't offset by that. Alisson, maybe, I'll agree with. But Van Dijk, agreement was already in place. It's only because we let it out to the media too soon that Southampton reported us. And that's why we had to hold back. But that Van Dijk was always in place. We know that deal was always in place. Alisson, yeah, I'll give you credit. That probably was from Coutinho's offset.
But even then, Jazz, if we didn't get Alisson, we would have 100% got a creative midfielder that summer in the mold of, dare I say, bring up Fekir again. So
we just bought a 21-year-old defender without selling anyone for 30-odd million. Like, we bought Thiago.
Without instalments, by the way. That was cash on the table. That's 35 million.
Jota for 45 million. We bought loads of players without spending. We don't look at the price tag. That's the difference. We don't care about the price tag. The price tag's out the window. We look at the player. If the player's right, we get him. Whether it's 85 million up here for a keeper or it's 7 million down here for a left back, it doesn't matter as long as he fits the bill.
But I do think, countering that, Matt, we look at the wage. Sorry, go on, Josh.
I have heard that the whole, like, Pedri, Liverpool are fine on paying anything if it's a hold. But
if the player's the player, then it will go through. Wages, yeah, I agree with you, Chris. Wages, we look at it. I mean, we do pay high wages. We just don't pay it flat for the week. We say, okay, you want high wages? Score a fucking goal, get an assist. So we don't have knobbers like De Gea sitting on £350,000 a week on the bench. You want wages? You play, and that gets the best out of players. And look, we've got. Look at Andrew Robertson now. We draw every little bit of blood out of every player and get the best we can out of them because of our wage structure. And I know it's annoying. I know it's annoying, but it works, and we have to believe in it because our wage structure now, because we're winning, we went up to like above City with our wage structure because we're winning. So we pay the wages as long as they do the work. Fucking business on
Matt, we pay the agent fees. Matt, we pay agent fees. We pay high agent fees.
We can't look at Man City's wage bill. They get paid millions for other things the players do. So it's irrelevant.
Yeah, that's true.
You just want to touch upon that super chat quickly, Grizz.
I do. I just want to touch upon this method of paying your staff to work for their wages, because I do the similar thing in my chicken shop industry, and it's worked for me as well. So it definitely works. But listen, this is the super chat from Adred. Thank you, bro. He says, any chance of Jassy doing a collaboration with Jamie Webster?
Love top to chat. See it.
Let's have Jassy.
Love to see it.
Jamie's a top man. He's brilliant, man. I swear. So
yeah, we need to, do you know what? A collaboration like that would be absolute fun. Jamie Webster went to India, hasn't he? He's gone on tour.
Him and Emil and one more player came out there. It was organized by Billy Cup, and I missed it by a week. Got him, man.
Oh, that would have been amazing. Oh, but yeah, anything else, Avi, that on the agenda before we wrap this up, because the time's flown?
People are asking me, Grizz, anything with Saul Niguez?
Yeah, Saul Niguez, again, a name that's been prominent. Everyone's spoken to death about it. Again, as a profile of a player, I think we'll all agree, apart from Matt, who watched him, I think we'll all agree that he fits the profile in terms of he's combative, his presses are high, his energy levels are high, he's box to box, he's durable, he doesn't get injured. So you'd say, wow, that sounds like Gini. I'd say there's aspects of him that he would improve Gini in our side, namely his shooting prowess. He scores a lot of goals from outside the box. I unfortunately think we're at a stalemate with that. So I don't think he's be the midfielder that we bring in. Hope I'm badly wrong, because I'd love to see him in my team. Jess, a fan of Seoul?
Yeah. It's surprising, though, that they didn't take him to the Euros, Spain. I was quite shocked at that. But he is exactly what we all want, isn't he? He plays in many positions, can do everything, 26 in his prime. But, you know, it's one of those. Sometimes you hear too much about a player and you think, well, maybe it's too good to be true. I'm more excited about Malen. I think we'll get Malen this summer.
He's going to Dortmund.
What? That's today?
It's just today. That's confirmed. The bid has gone in and has been accepted by PSV for
there goes that.
Malen.
FSG wouldn't pay the wages.
Yeah, I went to tight bastard. No, we're not going back there. We're not going back there. But do you know what it is?
That's regretting, man.
Yeah, look, again, there is again talk of certain agents that are known to us, just like we're known to certain agents. So, you know, Jess, you said people have worked out Liverpool's strategy and a lot of clubs and agents are aware how we've worked. Well, we're also aware of how agents and certain agents work as well. So it's a two-way thing. You know, it's sometimes you think a player and you only think of the player. You don't think about the agency behind him, you know, the agent behind him and what kind of relationship they've got with Michael Edwards, because he's the key man in every transfer, because it's his relationship with all these agents, super agents, that makes the difference. Go on, Avi, you can read that. You're on mute, son.
Billy Kometia, thanks for the super chat. Someone that you bigged up as well. And look what he's gone and said.
I think he's crap anyway. That's
look what he's gone and said. Someone needs to let the air out of Grizz's face. Grizz, shall we put the block on him? Billy?
No.
He's a young kid. He's a young kid.
We'll I only block on Twitter.
Thanks for the super chat as well, by the way.
Anyone can say anything on here. We only block cans on Twitter. But it's all right. You can talk, call, say what you want on it.
This name's popped up as well just today as well. Adam Holozak. I hope I've said that right. Excuse me if I haven't. Was at the Euros, 18 years old. I think he played in one of the...
I saw on Twitter today he's going West Ham.
Oh, is he going West Ham? Okay, my bad.
Yeah.
I saw something about...
Sorry, you get both.
Yeah.
it could be one of those. Be careful what you wish for, literally.
So look, I think it's fairly obvious that we're gonna get a midfielder again after the media saying it's not priority, and apparently the club letting that out. There's many tactics behind how the media, you know, say what they say. But just quickly wrapping up on the attacker, Jesse, if I gave you the choice of getting a striker or a attacking winger stroke, you know, like a Mane and Mo, what do you think is more vital right now?
Anyone with speed. Play him front, play him wide, which is why I like Malen, because he can play wide, he can, what you call it, just someone with speed, because you lose one of Mane or Salah, you lose that injection of speed. Jota's not fast, he's not like, you know, fast. You know Bobby's not fast. So I just hope someone with a bit of speed that can help.
So your priority is speed, not as a different type of striker like a Vlahovic, who's a target man. You'd want, whoever it is, has to be speed.
I think it's because if we lose, when we don't have, and we're going to, in January, find out what it's like to be without Mo and Sadio, you need someone to help us cover that. That's going to be a long month, man.
Matt, if you had the choice, and if you was, if you like had the final say, and it came down to getting a wide forward, a la Mane or Mo, or a striker that goes through the middle, like an Origi, what would you prioritise for the balance of our squad?
Well, it's dead hard because striker that goes through the middle doesn't really work. With if you get one of them, you lose what Salah and Mane bring to the team. But they also can change a game if we need to bring them on. I would like a winger so the lads get more rest during the season. But for just what the team needs, I think a striker through the middle, because Bobby is off form. I love Bobby. He's my favourite player. He's off form, so sometimes we need to change it up. And at the moment, we don't really change it up because we don't have the option. So I'd get a striker.
Avi,
Chris, you told me about a month ago, probably 6-7 weeks ago, about go and look out Dusan Vlahovic. And the more and more I looked at him, the more and more the YouTube videos that I saw of him, I thought I'm sold on this guy.
On YouTube, isn't he?
But you know, I've been banging on this Luis Diaz track for a long time now, since January. I think he would be the perfect replacement, either left or right, even in the middle. I think he had a great Copa America. He's got that tenacious. He's got a bit of Suarez in him. And, you know, Suarez's name is Luis Diaz as well, funnily enough. But he's got a bit of bulldog spirit in him. I would absolutely either get either one of those two in.
So we're all going to be okay with Ollie Watkins when we get him? We're all cool with
that? if you're paying the British premium, yeah, we'll take him.
Look, if we end up with John McGinn and Ollie Watkins and we win the league.
Hey.
Chris, who would you take?
one English player. We need homegrown. Who are you having?
Grealish.
With no budget, Matt.
You mean anyone?
In our budget, FSG budget,
80 million. I think we can do that.
We're accountants now, Jassy. Come on, get with it.
Our budget. We're struggling here in our budget. Ollie Watkins.
Are you all fans? Are you massive fans of Ollie Watkins? All of you?
I'm not. I'm gonna throw one out there, Grizz, and I know you'll be impressed with this, but Todd Cantwell.
If we didn't have Ings before, I'll take Ings.
James Ward Prowse would be great as well for us. Technical ability.
Again, James Ward Prowse won't get Twitter excited, but I tell you what.
Do you know what? You've all forgotten the right answer. And Sam on the chat just got it, Bellingham.
We were thinking realistic,
Matt. Not anti FSG. Yeah.
When did Bellingham go anyway? You need 3 years between 16 and 21.
Next year is last year's contract.
When did he go over to Germany?
He's only been there second season.
Oh, okay.
They're gonna wrap him up on a new contract. But lads, we've gone way over time, man. I know, you know what I mean, you guys are busy and I really, really appreciate your time. Matt, absolute pleasure, mate. I know we fucking chat every day, but seeing your face and, you know, embarrassing you in front of everyone is a total different feeling. Thank you very much for coming on, brother.
Thanks, mate.
Jazz, listen, we've got to do it again, man. We are going to do it again at the end of the window to see how we're feeling, you know, how things have panned out, because there's like, 5 weeks left, Avi?
5 weeks left. Yeah, 4.5 weeks left to be precise.
Yes, so 4.5 weeks left, Jess. I think you'll have a smile on your face and we'll be really content. You're going to have a smile anyway. I know.
As long as Jürgen's at the club, I'm fine.
Exactly.
It's been an absolute pleasure, man.
Thank you, mate. You've been an absolute legend and we will do this again. Talking of legends, kid from California.
No, don't call me a legend, please. Not yet. Not yet, anyway.
Thanks, he says.
Listen, guys, it's brilliant that we finally got Jesse on. I'm so happy that I got on a pod with Matt because I was a big fan of his work a couple of years ago.
I was a big fan of Matt a couple of years ago
on the pod. I'm just pleasured to be on. And Grizz, always big brother, thank you very much for having me on.
No problem, lads. It's been a fantastic show, man. We've had differences of opinions. We've had... we've had heated debate, but it's been amazing. It's been respectful.
I've got to catch you in India next trip you make.
He's always in it.
He's coming to the States first. So you want to come to San Francisco, Jesse? There you go.
As soon as we're back traveling, I'm back out, man.
Jess, when Matt's in India next, can you like get him a proper one of those curries that he's gonna fucking not get up from for like at least? Because he thinks he can handle anything.
I won't take it out.
Next time, can you sort him out, please, with one of those curries I don't hear from him for a week, right? One of the months. But listen, lads, it's been a wicked show, fantastic show. We're going to try to do this again. But me and Avi will be back next Thursday, no doubt. You might see us before that, depending on if anything happens in the transfer window. But thank you very much. Make sure you like and subscribe on your way out. Over and out. Thank you very much. Sports Social Podcast Network.